Drops at the house. My brother called me. He said, "Mel," he said, "it is pouring down the rain at Nancy." I said, "Well, maybe it'll get here." My tomatoes and my corn. Everybody's been lusting after my garden. They've been threatening to come down and raid the garden. I got tomatoes. Listen, y'all ought to know me by now. I love garden ripe tomatoes and fried potatoes.
Amen.
Gravy and biscuits. Woo!
Amen.
Shoo, hope. Boy, I really truly believe this. Anybody here, but y'all, I don't much like people using the phone, but get your phone and find me a phone number for the Child Protection Service, because I'm taking Grayson home with me. You want to vote on it? If I can get him to my car, he's gone. I love that little old boy. He looked up at me and laughed. Of course, he probably said, "I've never seen nothing like that before." I got to show you something if you haven't seen it. Can you see this from up back there?
Yes, sir.
This is the cross that we're putting up right up here on 27. Now, they're doing everything they can to keep us from doing it. The state sent us a pretty absurd letter. It's all right if the drunks and all the drug addicts put their signs up, but for God's sake, we don't want to put a cross up. But we're putting it up. We got the concrete poured, got the structural steel going up, and you'll see it tomorrow. It's going to be 60 foot tall, and the cross beam is going to be 40 foot. And Lord willing, we're going to put light at the bottom of it, and we're going to light it up of a night.
Amen.
What do you think about that? You can see it for miles. I got to give you a little tidbit. Y'all know I love to read. I love history. When I first time I went to Mexico back, Brother Greg, you might want to turn me down just a tad. I'm going to leave this for you. I'll send you a picture, but I'm going to leave this for Brother Billy, okay? Y'all took Ritalin or Valium? Tonight's Wednesday night. Y'all to be happy campers. I'm going to leave it right here. I got to give you this. When the first time I went to Mexico way back in the 80s, I'll never forget it. We was 4.5 hours from, almost down to the Honduras, the border, the lower tip of Mexico. And I kept seeing crosses as we went down the road. I'd see a big white cross on the highest mountain. And I asked that guy, I said, "Why?" Because I know what the cross means. But I said, "Why do y'all have them stationed about every 30 miles away?" He said, "Years ago, back in the 1800s, guess what they done for a cross, Kelly? Guess what they done? They'd put a cross on the highest hill." Now remember, they didn't have GPSs. All right, so if you couldn't find your way, you could see the cross, and that'd be the way home.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen.
I said, that still works today, amen.
Amen.
What do you think, guys? Okay, open your Bible, please. I got to tell you something real humorous. I had a funeral. That's not humorous. But I had a funeral in Cincinnati. You got to let me finish it, Hope. I had a funeral in Cincinnati. So here I go to Cincinnati, and of course, the family's distraught, and we went to the funeral home, and a real exclusive funeral home, everybody wearing masks. So I put my mask on, looked like the Lone Ranger. So I go in, and we had the funeral, but we had a time and a half. How many of y'all remember the Turner sisters? You know how they sing and play? We had a preacher there and his wife. Randy was sort of mentally challenged and had been all of his life. And so he lived in a group home for like 25 years. And so they got really close, this man and his wife, and they asked him to speak. I'm telling you the truth, boy, the Spirit of God ushered in that place. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Amen.
Boy, and I'm telling you the truth, I mean, I got excited. Now listen to this. After the services, they sort of insisted that I go eat with them. So I went to eat with them. I wanted to come home because I had so much to do. But I consented to go eat at a restaurant. I'm sitting right across from him, the daddy of the boy that died, and he got a phone call. And so he answered the phone call, and it was his doctor, and he had COVID-19. And he'd tested positive. Now I'm sitting right there right across from him, right? Will y'all perk up and look at me or something? I'm sitting right across from him. And he sort of got distraught, and he said, "Brother Sisson, I'm sorry," but he said, "they told me that I tested positive." And I said, well, Brother Roger, there ain't nothing can happen to us without the knowledge of God. Amen, Sisson. I said, there's a hedge about us and about our house and about all that we have, Job 1, verse 10. I said, I refuse. Now look at me, everybody look at these faces, those little beady eyes of mine. I refuse to have a collar put around my neck called fear. I'm not going to do that. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but of power, but of a sound mind. Now I'm going to use judgment. Amen, sister. I don't want to expose people to if I did have that disease. So guess what I done? So I come home. So the doctors told me, they said, if you've been exposed to it, you need to quarantine yourself. Can you see me quarantined? So anyway, we self-quarantined ourselves, Kelly. And I wasn't a bit more worried about it than I am the sky falling in on me. But anyway, they wanted me to go get this test because I don't want to be a carrier and give it to somebody. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Come on, do this. I don't want to be a carrier and give it to somebody that's elderly people, that's their immunity is real low. So I went and had that test, that COVID. Anybody here had that thing other than me? Oh, Lord, help us guys. They about kill this preacher. My wife, women are made different than men. And my wife, she can bear pain. Well, anyway, she handled it real well, Junior. They come in there and I believe they went and touched my brain in the backside. And my head, I'm telling you the truth, my head began to hurt on this side. I mean, just like my head was coming off. I thought my head was going to bust. So anyway, here we go back home. And you got to know me. I run from time I get up to time I go to bed. That's me. I just run. Well, anyway, we had the test, and that was on Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They said, we'll call you in 72 hours. I knew they weren't going to call us on no weekend. Yep. I knew that. Because anyway, so they called me, and they said, preacher, you tested negative. I said, I could have told you that in the beginning. Yep. Put me through that headache for nothing. Yep. Ugh. Y'all don't get nothing, Jess. But anyway, we tested negative, and I ain't going to take a baby aspirin and worry about no COVID. You ever thought about it? We was coming down the interstate. You could be driving down the interstate south and somebody hit you head on in the northbound lane, cross over and hit you. Yep. Amen, Brother Sisson. You're just a heartbeat from either heaven or hell. I'm going to heaven, thank God. Glory. Okay, got your Bibles? Wednesday night's important. Amen. Look in your Bible, and I want to read to you in Matthew, please, and find your place in the book of Matthew, and I want you to make a note of it. Chapter 16, and I'm going to read verse 1. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Let's see, I got the pulpit at 10 after 7, so we can go to 10 after 9.
All right.
Greg, you could smile. You got an air-conditioned place to go to work. Okay, Matthew, please, chapter 16. Now, take notes on me, verse 1. Folks, I've been preaching 50-some years of my life. I get radio listeners call me every day of my life. Here's what they'll say, especially down in the Tennessee area. Brother Sisson, what is going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I tell them, Jesus is coming. Amen. That's the best way I can tell you. Now, I want you to read Matthew 16 in verse 1. Ready? The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted him. Now, listen. And desiring that he should show them a sign from heaven. Did you get that? The Sadducees and Pharisees. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. How many of y'all see that? Would you raise your hand? Jesus said, you discern it, and you say the sky is red. Now drop down, look in verse 3. And in the morning it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now, if you got the right kind of Bible, it's got a question mark.
Yep.
Question, ready? Thank you, brother. Drop on down, verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, as he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, I want you to get this scene fixed in your mind. I'll soon be 76 years old. My grandpa, I was raised by my grandparents. I'll guarantee you, Brother Jesse, I'll guarantee you, Brother Richard, could do what I'm fixing to tell you. The old people used to be able to tell when it's going to rain. They did. They could tell you when it was going to rain. And they also could tell you when it was going to be foul weather. Look down, if you would, in verses 2. It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. All right, in the morning it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Now I want you to listen. Here they ask for a sign. They're tempting the Lord Jesus. Amen, Brother Sisson. And they're looking for a sign. I'm not preaching on no sign. I want to give you this, and I hope you take it for heart. Number one, if you look in your Bible, I got to thinking about, we know the signs of the weather. Every generation we lose just a little. Every generation we lose just a little. We just don't hand it down. We don't hand it down. Give me that baby. Come give me that baby. I want to show you what I mean. I couldn't wait to get my hands on him. I need a car seat. Look at this, guys. I want to ask you something. Every generation we lose just a little.
Yes.
What is going to be down the road for Grayson? In 2 years down the road, forget 5, forget 10. What will it be like for little Grayson 2 years down the road? Pay attention now. Listen to me. What will it be like? Kelly, what will it be like for your daughter? Brother, turn me down just a little, Brother Greg. I'm too loud. I got a little grandbaby. He had a temperature of 103 yesterday. My great-grandbaby, I couldn't stand it. We took him to the hospital. Unfortunately, he had a fever. So we had to take him to Lexington last night. His fever got up to 105. You talk about somebody worried about a child, concerned about him. There's not too many things trip my switch except my little great-grandbabies. I'm dead serious tonight. Jess, what's it going to be like for this baby? What is the public schools going to be like? What is our churches going to be like? Are y'all listening to me? Brother, we will never, ever, ever, ever live over the last 4 months of our lives. Our churches will never be the same. America, as you know, America is it's dying right in front of your eyes. I seen where last night they had in Chicago, they kill at a funeral, they shot 15 people.
Yep.
Portland, Oregon, they're trying to burn the city down. Louisville, Kentucky, that's 2 hours and a half from here. They told all of the blacks to come armed. Brother, something's fixing to happen. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, little man. Oh, gone, I love him. I'm going to take him with me. But I'm serious. What's going to happen to little Grayson? He'll never know the America that you and I have known. The freedoms that we have. Burning our flag. Urinating on the flag. God's sakes, don't ever do that around me. Are y'all listening, baby? Please don't. I wonder what little Grayson, I wonder if he'll be able to pledge allegiance to the flag. I wonder what kind of preacher he'll have to listen to. Do y'all ever think like that? Brother, I do. Y'all don't mind me being personal, do you? I got to show you this. Here, thank you. You going to take him, Granny? That little boy deserves it. A godly grandma and a grandpa. And a god. Look at that. He's got more hair than I've got. Okay, now look in your Bible, Matthew 16. We're talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They came, and Jesus told them, you can discern the skies. But now watch this. If you look down in verses 3, but he says, you hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? It's somebody that they don't have the Spirit in them. They're false. Amen, Brother Sisson. All right, Jesus said you can discern the times, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I was raised real, real old-fashioned, and I'm glad I was raised that way. I'm glad I was taught yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you, pardon me, excuse me. And we was taught another word called work. Well, I mean, we had to work. But what I want you to get at is this. They had a far simpler life than we have, but brother, they was far better off than we are. Spiritually, they used to walk. I mean, grandma and grandpa, they walked everywhere they went. They did. They didn't have air conditioning. Boy, I told my wife, thank God for air conditioning. But I'm saying we used to of a night, we couldn't even go to bed of a night until 10 o'clock or 10:30 to cool off. Y'all remember that? Didn't have fans, didn't have air conditioning. But I'm talking about the spiritual ebb back 50 years ago was far different than it is now. I can remember when I started in my early ministry, when I got saved at 19, I can remember that the King James Bible was never questioned. Nobody questioned whether the authenticity of the Word of God. They didn't have but fifth and sixth grade educations, but they knew which Bible to read. Say amen. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Write this on Friday if you Bible. Number one, we know the signs of the weather. We know the time of day. I don't mean this to be facetious or unkind. Look at me, Brother Jess. We're the only species up on this planet that's got one of them. Have y'all ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about why we wear a watch? Cliff, why do we wear a watch? I've been in the third world countries. I've been there. Natives don't wear watches. I've never seen an elephant wearing a watch. Why do we wear watches? It's because we're very conscious that time is running down. What I want you to see is, listen to me. We are conscious. We're conscious because death is on our trail. All right, we know there's a heaven. We know there's a hell. How do you know that, Brother Sisson? It's put within us. Listen, a man, we're three parts, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Your inward man has to be quickened or made alive. All right, the moment that you're made alive, the Holy Ghost indwells you. All right, you pass from death unto life. Say amen. But the Bible has a whole lot to say about time. He says there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to die. Ecclesiastes 8. All right, Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 20, it says it's appointed that a man wants to die, but after this the judgment. Read Revelation chapter 10, it says, and time shall be no longer. What I want you to see, people, we say, well, what time is it? Why are we so conscious of time? Why are we so conscious of it? Y'all ain't getting this. Brother Sisson, let me. I got to show you this before I get started. Go back and look in your Bible. I want you to write this on the fly if you Bible. We discern the signs of the weather. We discern what time of day it is. Well, it's 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and we can do this. We can discern. We can't discern the times of God. What do you mean by that, preacher? The Bible is God breathed. All right. If the devil can keep you out of it, the older people, my mom and my grandmother, my great grandmother, every morning of her life. Why did we wake up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning? Why do we do that? My grandma would get up every morning of her life. It wasn't even daylight. And guess what she'd be doing? She'd be out on the porch as soon as it got daylight, and she'd be reading the Bible. Are y'all listening to me? At daylight. The Bible meant something to them. They were hungry for it. Amen, preacher. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen, preacher. Every living thing that's got a breath in it has a hunger and has a thirst. Yes. All right, they had a hunger for God that we don't have. You might as well just say amen. Yes. I personally believe this, that prosperity is what's ruined the American people. Amen. I really believe that. I mean, things and things and wanting more things and more of this and more of that and more things. And the little Graysons and the little Prestons of this world are paying for what we, our wants and our, not our needs, but our wants. Amen, sister. Yeah. All right, what should be the most important thing in that little boy's life? His spiritual life. That ought to be the most important thing, not whether he's going to make a CEO of a corporation somewhere or whether he makes $100,000 a year. Hey, Kelly, I know people that makes over $100,000 a year have lost their jobs. Just like that. I had a man call me from Austin, Texas. You talk about making money. He'd been there 28 years of his life, and he loves the Lord, and he gives. I mean, he loves the Lord, gives to the work of the Lord. But look at me for a moment. This COVID thing, They quarantined him. This is Austin, Texas. And can you believe this? They called him at home after 28 years and told him your services is no longer needed. How would you handle that? Is that all you've been living for? 6 weeks more vacation. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is it ought to be important to us to teach our children and our offspring on what thus saith the Lord. Okay, now let's go back. Now, I want you to watch. So Jesus, number one, he says you can discern the skies. You can tell what time. You can do that, but he said you can't discern the time. Now watch this. I'm not talking about a sign. I'm not a sign. Not a sign. We in the time in which we are living, I'm talking about this day. What time is it? Now watch. Flip over the book of 2 Peter with me right quick, hurriedly. I want to show you what time it is. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and look if you don't mind in your Bible, and look in verse 3. Ready? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I'm trying to slow down. All right, the time in which we're living, it's a time, if you're a Bible believer, can you believe that people scoff at you? Can you believe that? If you're a Bible believer, and it's usually, it's these individuals that's college educated. I know what y'all are thinking. My granddaddy was probably never out of Lincoln County, Kentucky. I think one time he went out of the state of Kentucky, went to Ohio. Well, look, Daniel says they're going to run to and fro. You can get in an airplane and be in California in just a matter of hours. You can get in an airplane and go to France, go any part of the world. All right, 50, 60 years ago, that was almost unknown. Amen, preacher. A telephone, how about that, or a cell phone? 50 years ago, that was unknown. What kind of time is it, Brother Sisson? I can remember when preachers used to come to our house. I can remember when people used to come, they respected the men of God. Oh, it's not that way now. Let me show you what I mean. Go to 2 Peter, please, chapter 3. Don't you look in verse 1. Ready? I'm sorry, verse 3. Knowing this first, Peter said, verse 3, that there shall come into what? What's going to be like? Scoffers, mocking. Let me show you this. Walking after their own lust. And here's what, verse 4. They say, where is the promise of his coming? Let's meet you do something tomorrow. Let's do something tomorrow. Let's go meet over in downtown Somerset or anywhere. Let's go to Walmart. That'd be a better place than any place. Or Lowe's. Let's just go down through there and ask him, do you think Jesus will come today? Let's do that. You want to do that? Let's just go to Lowe's or any place you want to go where there's a lot of people, and let's just put our mask on and let's just hand out tracts and say, do you believe Christ will come in your lifetime? They're going to laugh at you, make fun of you. They're going to think you're probably illiterate off your rocker. They're going to say, where is the promise of his what? What? Coming. One out of every 25 verses deal with the second coming of our Lord. People are so, and I don't mean this in an ugly fashion. If you talk to people, they don't know nothing about the dispensations. They think it's going to be any, many, many more. You're saved, you're lost, you're going to heaven, you're not going to go to heaven. You've been good, you've not been good. It's not like that. Brother Jesus is going to, hey, he's coming, and when he's coming for the blood wars. Woo! Nothing excites you people. Listen, that's called the rapture. The rapture, the snatching away. And brother, let me go a little farther. We're talking about the signs of the time. He said they're going to be scoffers. They're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? And let me show you this. For all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And then the Bible says they're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God. You'll never convince me. You might as well, you're wasting your time. Our moms and dads didn't have third and fourth and fifth grade educations, but they had a knowledge of the Bible we don't have. Did y'all get that? They dug and they hunted and they searched and they depended upon God. We don't think we need anything. Amen, preacher sister. Let me show you this now. Watch. You need to write it down. Jesus told these hypocrites and he called them hypocrites. That's somebody that was void of the Spirit. One, let me show you, times we're living scoffers. And if you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, there we're going to say that there's these apostasy. They'll turn their ears from the truth. Look at me for a moment, just for me. Look at our preachers that are on television or on radio, and I don't listen to television very much. But your preachers have gone from preaching to do what? What is it? It's called teaching. They'll have teachers having itching ears. Somebody said, what is the difference between teaching and preaching? I said, preaching, teaching is preaching set on fire. I love the Bible. I love it taught. I love it preached. I love it expounded. But they're going to be scoffers, and then guess what they're going to do? There's going to be an apostasy. I mean, the falling away. And then there's going to be false teachers. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord's going to heaven. You ought to be able to discern who is and who's not. A man that denies the virgin birth, he is a false teacher. Can I tell y'all something? This is going to shock y'all's nervous system. In Louisville, Kentucky, they done a survey. Out of 1,800 seminary students, get this, 1,800 seminary students, 42% of them did not even believe the virgin birth was essential to be saved. Now, what bothers me is this. If time goes on, they're going to be behind the pulpits teaching that trash. Ooh, did I say that? Teaching that. So little Grayson, if time goes on, that's what he's going to have to listen to. Or be exposed to, I should say. Right? Please listen to me. Perk up just a little. We're talking about the times. Scoffers, laughers, mockers. And then guess what? Look here. These they're false teachers. They're going to say, the false among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Jesus said that. Now let's go a little farther. Back in Matthew 16. Ready? Not only the times in which we're living, discerning the times. What do you mean by that, preacher? I never dreamed in my lifetime that America would be shut down in one day. Amen. In one day, it shut down just like that. And now then, guess what? Whether we like this or not, we may not like this or agree with it. All right, we're living in what's called the Laodicean church age. That's back in Revelation chapter 3. It says they're increased with goods and have need of what? Nothing. All right, now listen to me just for a moment. He's standing on the outside in Revelation 3. Guess what he's doing? Behold, I stand at the door and what? He's on the outside of his own church in Revelation 3. If the rapture did occur, how many do you think would leave? How many do you actually think would leave if the rapture did occur? I just got off the phone with a man in Roanoke, Virginia. He said, Brother Sisson said, they're arming themselves to the teeth. They're buying ammo like crazy. The gun stores. He said, our church, he said, Brother Sisson, a paralysis has just come over our church. It's everywhere. It's a paralysis. It's an apostasy. It's a turning from. It's to where they don't think they need God. We didn't want God back in the 60s, and look at it now. We kicked God out of everything. Amen, Sisson. The psalmist said in Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked and the nations that forget God should be turned into hell. So now we're in the reaping mode of what we sowed back there. Anybody here put out a garden? Only two of us. Kelly. Why would you put tomato plants in the ground if you didn't expect to get more off from it? Or sow beans? Or corn? Don't you expect to get more off from it? But see, we didn't... When we sowed the seed back there of liberalism, amen, Brother Sisson, repeat after me, all have sinned, all have come short, brought nigh by the blood. There's more to salvation than that. There has to be conviction, amen. All right, when conviction's up on you, are you listening to me? The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace, what, to the humble. I agree. I simply agree this. I believe this with all my heart. If you're sitting back there, say you're on the back row, and the Holy Ghost has convicted you of your sins and you realize you're lost. All right, when do you get saved? When you step out of the pew or when you get up here on your knees? When you step out, when you yield yourself. Could I ask y'all a real pungent question? We're going to start a war right quick. When and where are you married in the eyes of God? Well, I'll start a war now. When and where are you married in the sight of God? Do you remember Rebecca said, I will? Your will has to be surrendered. Two people, two individuals, they surrender their will to become what? One, right? I know you're supposed to obey the laws. I understand all that, but I'm just saying it's more than just what we make it is today. Salvation's more than just saying a little few words. Amen, preacher Sisson. There's got to be Holy Ghost conviction in your heart or you'll never get saved. Now let's go a little farther. We're talking about discerning the times. One, they're discerning the times. They're this, what I don't know what to call it other than just loveless. Our churches have become loveless. Amen, brother says, that's the only way out. Go over to the book of Revelation right quick, hurriedly. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Let me read it to you, please. Revelation chapter 3, and I want you to read this with me. You don't see people at the altar anymore. You don't see people weeping over their sin. You don't see them broken over their sin. You don't see nobody even saying, forgive me. How long has it been since you heard anybody say, forgive me? You don't hear it anymore. You don't hear anybody. You don't see people going to each other and loving on each other. I personally believe that little Grayson deserves a church that where they love each other. He needs to be brought up in that atmosphere. If y'all don't say amen, we're going to be all night. Our children need to see churches in love with the Lord Jesus and in love with each other. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. All right. But in Revelation chapter 3, he's talking about a loveless church. Now, I showed you this in a moment. Revelation chapter 3. Look down, if you don't mind, in verse 18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Now, this is Christ talking. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thou mayest be the shame of thy nakedness, do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see it. Now, all right, so they wasn't seeing. Now, look in verse 19. As many as I love, I what? Say it back. I rebuke. You'll never see me rebuke little Grayson. You'll never see me chasing him. You know why? He's not mine. Amen. Amen. How in the name of heaven can people say they're saved and God never chase them for what they're doing? As many as I love, I chasten. That is correction, amen. Yep. All right. Anybody here ever have a whooping? I mean, when y'all was young, yours didn't take, and I know your didn't, Greg, raising both hands up there, law me. Y'all ever been whooped with a peach limb? Or an apple tree limb? I used to, so help me God. I know y'all think this is funny. My mama, she'd get me by the galluses of my overalls, and she'd get me if she got me out here at arm's length, she could whoop the daylights out of me. But I learned to do this, get as close to her as I could, and she couldn't hit me hard. And I learned to scream a lot. Make her feel sorry for me. That didn't work either. I used to ask, I didn't know what, I was in the sixth grade, and I didn't know what the word amnesia meant. But I know if I wanted my mama to have it. And it never did work. My mom majored in psychology. You wait till your dad comes home. Make you wait 2 hours. Y'all don't remember? Don't you remember nothing like that, Junior? Make you, boy, you'd hear them tires. You'd hear your dad come in to drive, my stepdad. I'd hear that car, and I'd say, oh, dude. And he'd say, Melvin! And I'd have to go where the voice is at. She made me wait for 2 hours before she whooped me. Ain't that awful? He'd whoop me, then she'd whoop me. And look at him. She used to say, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt. I'd say, well, then quit, Mama. But never did. She never did quit. If I went up and told my mom, I'm going to report you to the officials, she'd say, I'll give you something to report you over. I don't believe in abusing children, but I do believe they need correction. Every child of God, God corrects them. Holy Ghost lives inside. Now, let me show you. Now, watch this. We're talking about loveless. We're talking about no reconciliation of sin. Nobody uses the altars anymore. Amen, preacher Sisson. But I got to thinking about this. I thought about how the time for Jesus to come. Now, I'm not no sign. I'm not pointing to anybody that knows me knows after 50-some years, Brother Jesse, there's something climatically fixing to happen. Are y'all listening to me? Something climatically is fixing to happen. All right, everything is right in the row. When Jesus comes and he says, come up hither, every child of God is going to be removed. But the moment that he comes, then the Antichrist steps on the scene. Amen, preacher Sisson. Oh, preacher, you surely do. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. Little Grayson and my little grandson, hey, boys, help me preach, would you? How can you? This is going to sound cruel. Kelly, look at me. Somebody's going to ask me, I know right after the service, you're going to say, what is the age accountability? If you can, I don't believe it's no 12. I don't believe that. In years gone by, it don't make a difference what I believe. It's what the book teaches. I believe God can save a child. But it has to be when, see, they're not sin conscious like we are. Does everybody understand that?
Yep.
It's how much mom and dad live in front of them. It's how much of God they got in their lives. Then that individual, it's not, well, Brother Sisson, well, I know of men that I think grown men that never reach the age of accountability. Honestly, I have. I know grown women that I don't believe it's ever reached age account. Not now, but I mean years gone by. What I mean by that is it's not a certain age. Well, what do you mean, Preacher Sisson? The Spirit of God has to be convicting them.
Yeah.
All right? Well, if that be so, in years gone by, our churches are absolutely filled with people that's unregenerate. And when the rapture occurs, they're going to be left. Boy, that bothers me. You don't know how that bothers me and eats at me. I mean, now think about it. Jesus says, come up hither. Every child of God is going to leave.
Amen.
All right? There's not going to be no saved, and the Antichrist is going to step right on the scene. The Antichrist.
Yep.
All right? The world is prepared for that event. Is it going to be a race war? There has to be, biblically, I don't understand it. Everybody I read after for 50 years of my life believes that America will be dissolved. Either prior to the rapture or immediately after the rapture. America will be just gone. All right, Russia's still in the scene. Russia's going to come down towards Israel. The 100 million, they read China brags about all of their armies. But listen to me for a moment. The Euphrates River is going to dry up. They're going to come towards Israel. Everything is ready for this event to happen. But it's like they've been lulled to sleep.
Yep.
How many of you know when you go to sleep? You don't, Kathy. I don't either. You lay your head down, put your head on the pillow, and you think about the events of the day or whatever, right? Do this. Are you thinking about a Bible verse? I try my best to read before I go to bed. But I'm saying, and you just drift off into unconsciousness, right? Either the alarm clock goes off, right? Or you have to get up in the middle of the night. Okay. But if you wake up after about 6-7 hours of sleep, but nobody knows when they go to sleep. Our churches are absolutely asleep. I don't mean that in an ugly manner. I'm saying that they've been lulled to sleep. I blame a whole lot of it on television. We ain't had a real move of God since television came into existence. Ooh. And we've got so used to it. Amen, sister. When I was a little boy, I never will forget, we'd sit out on the porch and listen to the whippoorwills. Oh. Look at me for a moment. Y'all don't even know what a whippoorwill is. We'd sit out on the porch and listen to whippoorwills. I know we'd listen to the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday night. Look out now, and I'd think, how in the world can they get all them people in that box? Honestly, I did. We had an old battery-operated radio. We didn't have electric in the house. Y'all see, y'all don't remember nothing like this. Say amen. But I'm just saying, look at us now. Look at this upstream generation we've got. Can you believe now that since I've had heart surgeries 9.5 years ago, look at me for a moment. They can change the aortic valve now. I was cut from here to here, up from here to here, 28.5-inch cut. I've cut everywhere. I'm cut here. I mean, I've cut everywhere. Can you believe, Kelly, they can now can take the aortic valve and switch it out through the groin? They can literally switch that. You don't even have to have open heart surgery anymore. They can do that through the veins. I don't believe everything I see on Facebook. You want me to say that again? I got enough sense to know that I don't believe everything I see on Facebook. Amen, sister. But I watched the surgery at Christ Hospital. I watched them on that VD or whatever you call it. Help me.
DBS.
Okay. I sat there and watched it, and it showed them doing that surgery, putting an aortic valve in a man's heart, and then when they got it inside of there, it done this. I couldn't believe that. And it was in color. You want me to tell you something that'll really bless you? Look up here. Y'all know I'm crazy anyway. I know I'm crazy. I just don't get a check for it. Yes, qualifies. I was up here in the hospital, and they was doing this thing on me that, I don't know what you call it. It's where they put this stuff on you, and they run it over you, and it's on a screen about this big. What do they call it?
Ultrasound.
You're a nurse.
Ultrasound.
I'm laying there, and he's doing this. He said, yeah, are you preacher, sis? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I listen to you on the radio a lot of time, but he said, I don't agree with you. I said, that's okay. I don't agree with me half time either. I said, turn that over here so I can see it. You could see every vein in my heart. Are y'all listening with that? I'll say it again.
Ultrasound.
You could see it. I told him to turn the screen over. I wanted to see it. It's my heart. So he turned it. He said, I was fascinated by it, Junior. I was fascinated about him seeing all this stuff inside of my body. He said, you think that's really something? He said, you ought to be here sometime when a woman's carrying twins. And he said, the bigger one, he said, usually when a woman's carrying twins, the one will be bigger than one will be bigger than the other one. And he said, it'll take its, the big one will take its finger and run down the little one's nose like this. And he said, the big one will take the little one by the hand like he's trying to comfort him. Ain't that a sight? I told him, I said, well, if you read your Bible, I said, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was in the womb. He said, really? I said, yes, sir, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was in the womb. Says John leaped for joy. I said, y'all think y'all got everything all situated. I said, the Bible tells y'all about it. Are y'all listening? I'm talking about the times. Jesse, Jesus said, you discern the times, but you know not. He says, oh, you hypocrites. Did y'all get that? You can discern the sky, but you don't even know what time it is. Brother Sisson, please listen to me this evening. This is the, what is the right word I want to use? Do you understand the dispensations? This is a dispensation of grace.
Amen.
All right, the dispensation of grace is closing.
Yes.
It's closing. And the moment that he says, come up hither, it's closed. And you can be wonderfully, gloriously saved tonight. You can be ready to meet. I got a funeral Friday. They're bringing them from Indianapolis. Junior, look at me. I asked him, I said, what was your mom's condition? What was her relation with to the Lord? And here's what he said. I take it to my grave. He said, preacher, said, I never, ever seen my mom ever darken the church house door. Isn't that sad? I'm going to preach to the lost. If I don't know the person, what can I do for them? I can't do a thing for them. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. But I'm just saying, Kelly, isn't that sad? To never have had a mom to ever sit with them in the church house. Brother, I'm telling you, Jesus said you can discern the times. Brother, we're living right on the verge of the coming of our Lord. Did you know we're to watch for his coming? We're to love his appearing? God bless your heart. I appreciate you being so attentive. Let's stand, if you would, please, our heads bowed just for a minute. Boy, this is a time. If you read Revelation chapter 20, Jesse is going to come in just a moment. Revelation chapter 20, this great white throne judgment of God. All right, he said, whosoever's names were not found written was cast into the lake of fire. You ought to ask people sometime what they think about hell. Or what they think about the lake of fire. You ought to just have a conversation with them. Anybody here ever watch Fox News? They're about the most reliable, but I've got so where I don't watch them a whole lot. They talk above each other and at each other, and they're having a conversation. I get so annoyed and aggravated, excuse me, mad. They're talking about, please don't misunderstand me. When they throw the first brick in Minneapolis, Minnesota, they became a lawbreaker. They should have been arrested. Okay. Now we're going to have a conversation. We're going to figure out, we ain't going to give them, we're not going to take lawfully. We're going to have a conversation with them and turn let our cops, we're going to defund them. Can you imagine what it would be like if they do that? Can you comprehend what it will be like? What will that child have to grow up in if they don't have What if you had an emergency and you called 911 and you wanted a policeman and there's none there to come? I know people don't believe. Y'all say, this is so far out in left field. No, it's not. It's coming. It's already here. It's knocking at our door. I'm telling you tonight, if I wasn't right with the Lord, I wouldn't leave this building. I'd find me someplace to get alone with God and say, Lord, help me. Boy, we need to repent toward God. Little old Grayson deserves a church. And I love Brother Biddy. I love you folks. God knows I do. But I'm concerned about what it's going to be like for them. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of these people. Lord, even now I pray for Brother Biddy and Ms. Chris. Lord, I pray you'd help them. May we see the fields are white in the harvest and the laborers are few. Bless those that, God, that want to do a work for you. Lord, I pray tonight, please, little Grayson, all these children, dear God, my little great-grandson. Lord, I think about these children and these little kids. What would it be like for them? Please, God. Lord, would you please forgive us for what we're involved in? Help us, Lord. We're sure needful people. Speak to people tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Brother Jess.
Page 303 in the blue book.
I got to tell you something while Jess is coming. Y'all seen me carry Grayson around? He wasn't much bigger than that one, than Grayson, when I first met Jess. Look how the Lord's been good to him. Let's sing, Jess. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Jesus said you can discern the skies, but you know not what time it is. That saved a wretch like me. Like me, I once was lost. Now I'm found. Well, think about the amazing grace of God. Wait a minute, Jess. Give me that baby again.